Hello, is it me you're looking for? I can see it.
Hello and welcome to Newscast episode 41, titled Bullshit Meows. We've already created the title for you. The optional title was Zach Does a Filibuster. Zach, do you have anything to say that could possibly delay the show any further?
I have to.
Is it you want to keep going, Zach?
I will sit through it.
Cool.
Okay. Thanks, Zach.
Sure, man.
I thought so.
Yeah. So that interrupting voice here is Zachary Miller.
No,
and
with
us also, shut up, Zach, please.
Cat tail riveter.
Oh my god.
Cool story, bro.
Retitle the show. Shut up, Zach, please.
Anyone want to talk about
the second
shirt tails,
dude?
Dude, shirt tails.
I know, right? One of them was a moose.
We have to click stop.
No, we don't.
No, we don't.
Okay, fine. Next up, Neil Ronahan.
If we hit stop, we'll never start again.
Are we done?
Yeah, that was Neil's intro, and Andy Gergen.
Hey, what's going on?
Gergen is dead,
that was
Gergen, and
right
so
there.
Is Guitar Hero.
Gergen lives.
You just trampled on my
segue.
That was
a very, very, that was a segue.
That was a mean segue.
I would like a segue for E3 one year. That would just make the whole thing easier.
God. That would be pretty sweet.
I would like some sort of Ben-Hur, like, I believe. That would be awesome. Guitar Hero is dead. What is all this nonsense? It's been dead to me for a long time.
Activision had an investors meeting, and they basically said that they were shit-canning the entire Guitar Hero division. There won't be a Guitar Hero game for 2011, which, I mean, if they're canning the entire division, then I think it's safe to say the Guitar Hero is kaput.
Yeah, it's kind of like, here, let's take a break, but why don't you take the wedding ring back?
Yeah.
You know,
that's actually exactly what it is.
They were saying that they were just taking a break. They were just taking a break is how they worded it, right?
Yeah.
Right.
And then they go ahead and fire everyone that could possibly work on it. So,
well, not quite. Everyone's probably talked about how Guitar Hero was dead, and it's dead. It sucks. You know, it started off, it was a really cool series, and it definitely kind of, you know, fizzled out. It died.
Well,
Guitar Hero Aerosmith.
I don't think it fizzled out so much as it was choked to death. Let's be clear on that.
Yeah.
And honestly, I don't really feel like the IP is dead. They'll revive it eventually when
they will. Yeah.
When there's a market for making it into
a
nostalgia product.
Because
no,
they
will.
The whole problem that they cited was that the sales weren't there and that the licensing for music wasn't worth it. And that's, I don't know if that's going to change.
Yeah, but can't you see them in like maybe 3 years? Guitar Hero.
It'll change when it sells again. It'll change when it's profitable again. I mean, and that's not going to be now, and it won't be next year, and it won't be the year after that. But there'll come a time when there's a place for a nostalgia-driven Guitar Hero game, and that's when they'll bring it
just
back.
Like an original Halo remake.
Well, that's going to happen.
I know. I'm so excited about that, even though I hate the original.
No, that might be cool, but let's not talk about that now. Let's talk about the real problem with this.
Yeah.
Or at least the two problems that I see from my vantage point. DJ Hero. DJ Hero 2.
Yeah, it's awesome.
If you remember from our Game of the Year episodes, it was one of Carl Castaneda's Games of the Year. And I was actually playing DJ Hero 2 this weekend, a friend of mine who really enjoyed it wanted to play it. And also I was thinking, I was like, I'll pour one out for DJ Hero. And then I ruined one of my DJ turntables.
Oh.
And then I played the game. But DJ Hero is fucking awesome. It's fantastic.
It is. I agree. I love the first game, and when the second one drops to that price, I will buy it.
Yeah, like those games are really incredible. If you haven't tried them, I really recommend you do. You can probably find the first game and maybe even the second game for somewhere in the ballpark of like $20 with 8 turntables or something.
Yeah,
like they're dirt cheap. And they are superb games, and they might be gone along with the rest of the Hero games. I know the developer, Freestyle Games, is in talks with Activision. They're not officially shuttered. I know the other bummer that I would have to say with all this Guitar Hero talk is that it looks like Vicarious Visions, the Nintendo-friendly developers that are up in Albany, New York,
and they do good
they
work.
Might be they got a lot of layoffs. They usually do the Transformers DS games,
which are not as terrible
not
as you
for
think.
The new games. Yeah, that aren't as bad as you think. Zach and I have reviewed the past two entries in the series, and
yep.
They're pretty good.
Yeah,
and they've been making those for I think 3 or 4 years at this point, and the ones for the new Transformers movie, are being developed by Behavior Interactive, otherwise they used to be known as Ass to Mouth. I mean, Artificial Minded Movement or something. They changed their name because their
you
abbreviation
never do
was
A2M. Ass to Mouth.
Yeah, but. So Vicarious Visions lost that, and they were also really focused on the Guitar Hero franchise as far as making it on Wii, and they did stuff like
handheld,
the
Game Boy, the DS.
Yeah,
ones.
Yeah, they also did those as well. And they did a lot of cool stuff with the Wii Online, like for all the bad things you can say about the new Guitar Hero game, it did cool things on Wii. Like, you could actually do the whole Twitter, Facebook posting thing on Wii, which I don't think you can do in any other game. Nope. And that's kind of, you know, a throwaway feature. But this is a company that strive to do good things on Wii, things online that other companies haven't done. And
I think it's important to make the distinction that I don't know that anyone was necessarily really arguing that the Guitar Hero games weren't well-made products.
It was overkill.
There was too many of them, too close together, that weren't different enough.
Well, no, let's get real. Like, the last one kind of sucked.
Well, I didn't play it.
I went to an event for it, and I was like, this might actually be kind of fun, and I played it, and, like, it's not like the game is functionally bad, it's everything around it was pretty shitty.
But the core gameplay is the same, right? I mean,
yeah.
That hasn't changed, that's still fun, people still enjoy
that. Yeah, but part
that.
Of what makes Rock Band 3 so great is that the window dressing is so much more better.
I would agree with that,
3 and World Tour are the best Guitar Hero games.
I would disagree, but that's also because by the time 3 and World Tour came out, like, I didn't give a shit, and I was all about Rock Band. I think 2 was the pinnacle for me.
I've never put any real time into a Guitar Hero game that wasn't made by Harmonix.
I reviewed a bunch of Guitar Hero games, and, you know, it's sad. I might actually get rid of some of my plastic instruments for Wii, so that's cool, but it's still a bummer.
You know, I put so much time into Guitar Hero 2 that I could never quite acclimate to Rock Band. Like, I just couldn't get used to it at all.
Yeah,
so
you know,
it's out
the horizontal bars
like
that got me.
Right. Yeah, it was just subtle enough, or, you know, there was a big enough of a difference. It was subtle, but I just could not
I put
used
a lot
to
of
it.
Time into Guitar Hero 2, but Rock Band was, like, that's what I wanted from the start, and
I
love that game so much.
Yeah, I'm kind of the same way, but kind of back around again. I put a lot of time into Guitar Hero, adjusted to Rock Band without too much difficulty, but now I can't go back and play Guitar Hero games.
Huh.
Like, I tried to pick up Guitar Hero 3 for 360 and play a little bit of it, and it just didn't appeal. Like, the aesthetic.
There's definitely, like, the
off,
way the jewels
but,
are.
Yeah.
Like, it's an adjustment period whenever you switch between them.
Yeah. I'm kind of sad.
I'm a much better
that,
Rock Band player than I am a Guitar Hero player.
Yeah, I am as well. I'm kind of sad that the franchise is gone, but at the same time, I think it was inevitable, somewhat necessary. I mean, the market isn't going to support two franchises like this.
Well,
and
this
Rock Band has...
Anyway.
Especially now.
The plastic instrument bubble burst a while ago, I think.
Yeah.
I think you could say the year that Beatles Rock Band came out was kind of where it came, like, it was the realization, it's like, guys, this isn't going to sell.
Well, I wanted to say something about Tony Hawk. I mean, yeah, I want to say something about Tony Hawk.
Oh yeah, Tony Hawk's in the same bed as Guitar Hero.
I think it's funny. Yeah. I think it's funny that Activision just now realized that Tony Hawk's not selling because it hasn't sold for years.
Well, I mean, I knew this year they kind of gave. I think there was a quote from someone at Activision that was like, "No, man, Tony Hawk Shred. It's got a long tail.
Right.
People are gonna buy it." However, one thing to notice, I saw the sales recently for Tony Hawk Shred and Shaun White Skateboarding. Tony Hawk Shred, like, tore the shit out of Shaun White's skateboarding in sales. So, okay, it might not be selling that well, but it's still the best-selling skateboarding game out there. Which I think
has
is more of a testament to skateboarding games aren't popular, not so much as, you know, the Tony Hawk games are.
This is another deal where I kind of feel like, okay, so clearly the plastic peripheral Tony Hawk game didn't work. I think we're all in agreement on that. Why can't you just take something in the vein of Tony Hawk 2, Tony Hawk 3, a stage-based high score game and just put it on a downloadable service. Yeah. Xbox Live, leaderboards. I mean, leaderboards and Tony Hawk 2 and 3 are made for each other.
That's true.
Like, you don't have to kill the IP. You just got to stop doing the things that aren't making money and start doing things that make sense like that. Make a low investment Tony Hawk game and sell it for $15.
Fucking Spyro game instead.
Oh, that is such bullshit.
Where you have the portal that you put action figures in. I mean, the idea of it's kind of neat.
Spyro's
like
not going to sell
10
copies.
Would be fun. I think it'll sell more than that. At least 20.
Okay. I'll give you 20.
I think if they market that well, maybe there's a cartoon show along with it. That could take off.
For all the kids.
I actually haven't read anything about the Spyro game. I mean, I know who the character is, but...
Okay, so what Activision's doing, I believe it's being developed by Toys for Bob, who, I forget what the series they did, but they've been basically, they did, I think, Tony Hawk's Downhill Jam for Wii, which was meh from what I remember reading. But, so what it is that, like, it's a Spyro game, and the whole hook of it is that you have this, like, this portal. That's what they refer to it. It's basically a stand that, you know, is hooked up to the game.
Right.
And you place action figures onto that stand, and then they will appear in the game.
They're really just
and
little
as you
statues.
Play the game, you'll level up these statues, these figures, and you'll gain experience for them. And then, like, if you remove them, then it still it saves everything onto that figure. So the next time you put that figure in, it'll have all that experience.
But it's not clear what you do with the figure when it's not plugged into the game.
Yeah. I mean, it was just announced last week, so there's still, you know, questions to be asked. But I think the idea of it could be really cool.
Sure.
Could be.
Sounds kind of interesting.
All right. Let's talk about this hero business and how there's no more of it.
Yeah. There's no more Heroes 2 Desperate Struggle. Andy, so I believe you started playing that today?
Yeah, actually, I got this in trade from Mr. James Charlton about a month or two ago, I guess, and it's been sitting on my shelf.
I got it off of Gusek literally after the episode that Carl said this was his game of the year, and I was like, maybe I'll get that, and I got it on Gusek and got it the next day.
Yeah, I mean, I've been sitting on it for at least, I think, 2 months, and I just haven't put it in yet.
Yeah, I sat on it for a while before. I opened it up last week and put, like, a couple hours into it, like two or three.
You're probably farther than I am. I only am past the first boss battle.
I don't really want to spoil too much about it, but, like, do you care or no?
It kind of feels like a little bit of a jumbled mess. And that's not all that surprising, considering the first game was a jumbled mess as well.
I mean, the story is definitely all over the place. Suda51
game.
Yeah, but like, not only the content of the story, but it's sort of the way it's presented. Like, it's a series of cutscenes that all have this weird fade to black mechanic after they're done, which makes them
seem
more important than they really are. Does that make sense? Like,
it
goes back and forth. There's a little bit too much loading time between cutscenes, so it kind of feels like the transition between settings is a little off. The tone, of course, is all over the place. That's not that surprising. What does surprise me is like the production value and the visuals is something that I had forgotten how good it was in the first No More Heroes, and it really is good here too.
Oh yeah, I agree.
The in-engine cutscenes are really well done. There's a couple of frame rate problems, but. I really like the pixelated icons on the screen and the mini games that are done 8-bit style are really fantastic.
My thing is, like, what's the point of them in this game? I mean, I haven't gotten too far into it, but I feel like there is no point other than to be like, oh, this is fun. Let's get some money and maybe buy some shit. Like,
I think it's just to earn money to buy more gear.
They just seem so far removed from the main game.
Yeah, but then so did a lot of the stuff from the first game. I mean,
yeah.
the whole driving around the city.
They removed it from being a requirement for the linear progress in the game, I guess.
Yeah, that's part of it, I think. I mean, the driving mechanic in the first game felt superfluous and poorly executed. So this is just, you know, it's the same deal to me. It's a part of the game that is completely unnecessary, but they put it in regardless. Yeah. No More Heroes is just one of the weirdest things I've ever played.
I enjoy them, but I do too.
But it's, and it's not weird from, it's not weird the same way that Killer 7 was weird from the little bit of Killer 7 that I played at least. Killer 7 was weird because it didn't make any sense and the gameplay was out of whack. But the game was consistent in tone, and at least it had a vision and it kind of stuck to it. No More Heroes seems to just not really have any sort of consistent vision. It's all over the place. But it's
like they wink at the camera, and then there's like a serious scene, and then like something
Serious
happens, and then something else happens.
Like I like how in the one of the very first cutscenes, it shows the main character talking to his wannabe girlfriend, and like they have this argument about whether or not in a sequel you need to explain what's happened since the first one, or not. Like they don't use it in any uncertain terms. It's like, oh, come on. Yeah. No one's going to have played the first game. All we have to do is explain what's going on right now. He's like, oh, come on. Everyone wants to know what's been happening since the first game. It's like, really? Like, meta, I guess. But, like, kind of obnoxiously meta. Like, not meta in a subtle way. It's just, it's, once again, inconsistent.
They're going all dead on you.
I find the actual gameplay, like, I really liked it in No More Heroes 1. And I'm not sure if maybe it's because they're not giving me any sort of, like slow integration into it. Like they just kind of dropped me back where I was.
Yeah.
Like they're not, like I'm finding the controls really hard to adjust to.
Yeah. The combat, I don't know. It's not as like, not as much fun as I had. Although that's why I never really finished the first one, was because the combat just got old to me. So I guess the same.
I remember really enjoying the combat in the first game.
Until the very end.
Which is why I'm so surprised that I'm not enjoying it in the second game, when I think it's almost exactly the same. I think
it's because
in the first game they moved you through the steps like slowly, so you had a chance to kind of build on what you've known previously.
Yeah.
And now they just drop you in and expect you to remember most of it from the first game.
My favorite part of this one so far is that there's a fucking mech battle.
Oh, lovely!
It's awesome. Just to tease it, like it's awesome.
I had a real hard time with the first boss even, just because I had kind of forgotten how a lot of the controls worked. Like you only have maybe 5 or 10 minutes of stage before the first boss fight, so they expect you to remember it pretty quick. But I'm looking forward to seeing how. I mean, I enjoyed the story in the first one. I thought it was a clever parody of video games, which is basically what it ended up being. Like. They have the story made no sense by the end, and I think it was I'm positive it was an intentional move on their part to present a story that basically couldn't be understood, technically could not be understood because they fast forwarded through the dialogue necessary. So I don't know. I'm looking forward to playing more of it. Maybe after we finish it up, we should get Carl on for a little 3-man post game.
Yeah, I'm down for that.
That'd be fun. Have either of you other guys played this game at all? Or the first one, for that matter?
I have no interest
in
doing
so. Silence.
Why is that? I'm curious.
I have other games that I'd rather be playing.
I would kind of feel like this game is up your alley. At least the first one will be up your alley, Zach. I mean, it just kind of feels like it has that weird, eccentric
Japanese.
There's lots of boobs in it.
What?
Tons of boobs.
Don't just
not
say
boobs,
that,
but...
and then there aren't any to get me to play.
There's lots of sex appeal in the game. Like, the main character's like wannabe girlfriend is constantly showing off what God gave her, so to speak.
Hmm.
Or rather, what Suda 51 gave her, I guess. I mean,
is there any difference?
The main character's pure motivation in both games is purely to get laid.
Nice.
Yep.
That's it. That's the only thing he wants in both games is to get laid.
You guys
and like,
so
it's funny because At the end of the first game, he gets, I'm not going to spoil it too much, but he basically gets screwed, and not in the way he was trying to. And at the start of the second game, the girl who screwed him comes back and basically just says, oh, well, last time I wasn't serious, but this time I'm totally serious. And he totally bites it.
If I find it cheap, I'll try it out. How about that?
That's worth it. You can probably find it pretty cheap.
Can't imagine how I couldn't.
Yeah. I don't know. I think you would kind of enjoy it, Zach. I mean, it's weird, but it's got a good sense of humor, and I think it's kind of a sense of humor that meshes well with you, but...
I'll try it out. Why not?
Yeah, the first one should be dirt cheap to come across, and if it's not, then then don't get it. But if you can, I would say give it a shot.
Yeah, I'll try it. Why not?
Go for it.
Can't hurt.
What
right
the
on.
Fork? Let's do it.
Yeah. Yeah, I just haven't touched it. Or the first game in the series. I guess I'm too busy playing stuff like Dragon Quest.
No!
Oh, dude, that was good. That was good.
Yeah,
now,
yeah.
Dragon Quest is a little-known series out of Japan, right?
Yeah.
It's very obscure.
How is it, sir?
Sort of a niche.
Dragon Quest VI is pretty fantastic. Or I'm sure it was maybe even a little more fantastic back when it came out. Because right now, let me get all the dirty work out of the way. How's that sound?
Good.
I think they really need to address some of the issues that have always been around in Dragon Quest games.
HMs.
And in RPGs in general. You know, like, earlier this week, I had to go talk to everyone in the castle before I could move on. You know, I didn't learn anything during talking to the 20 people in the castle. I just had to talk to all of them. And then, I could go upstairs or whatever. You know, it's just filled with stuff like that, that modern games don't do as much. And,
you know what?
I wish they would have,
you know,
kind
game
of
does
gone
do that?
Through with a,
an-
huh?
You know what game does do that? Modern game? Animal Crossing. The very beginning, you have to talk to everyone in the town before you can start your part-time job for Nook. Sorry, that pisses me off.
You know what? It does, but Animal Crossing is a game all about indentured servitude anyways. So,
at some
point, you know, it falls within the reasoning of the game. But
anyway.
In this, you know, it's like those little touches, like they should have just gone through with, you know, some pruning shears and just kind of snipped out some of that stuff that didn't need to be there. And, you got stuff like, I can't use the zoom spell to get out of a cave. I have to use the evac spell, and then I can use the zoom spell to go back to a place I want to go to. Like, what's the point?
Yeah. The funny thing is that they still have that in Dragon Quest IX, too.
They do. They just don't rip that stuff out. And you have to wonder, like, why? What's the point? And I know
it's because
people
in
hate
Japan
change.
Don't care.
I know it's because people in Japan hate change.
They do. It's true.
Just do it for us, please. You're gonna localize it anyways. Just take out the crap. And it can't be that hard. You know, just instead of, making it, you have to go talk to everyone in the town, just let me do it. Just let me finish
it.
But you know, that's about all that bugs me about the game. I think they could have kind of upped the graphics a bit. The map still kind of looks like a Super Nintendo game, or the overworld map, that is. I know it looks significantly better than the original game, but looking at what Level 5 did with Dragon Quest IX, it's kind of like, well, why can't we get something on that level?
Yeah.
You know? And really, all the stuff kind of looks the same from Dragon Quest 4 and 5.
Aren't they the same engine?
The DS remakes, same engine, pretty much the same assets across the board.
I mean, I was, because I've been playing Dragon Quest 4. I got it cheap recently. And
yeah.
I was looking at Johnny's review of that, and he also reviewed Final Fantasy IV on DS around the same time. And basically, you know, directly compares about how, you know, Dragon Quest IV is a remake of a game that came out the same year as Final Fantasy IV, and that Final Fantasy IV remake is fucking drop-dead sexy. Whereas
this league's
the
better.
Dragon Quest IV remake is like, you know, it's just the game with
Final Fantasy
IV,
they... If I remember correctly, they added new cutscenes. They added
it's a
whole bunch of
new
animation
redone,
and voice
engine.
Acting, and yeah, it's a 3D.
It's relocalized.
Final Fantasy IV, play that game on DS. It's spectacular.
Oh yeah, it's fantastic. But with Dragon Quest, it seems like they're not putting the same level of care in.
And I mean, I feel like with Dragon Quest five and six have both never been available in North America, and I feel like their existence. Like a little bit of, I guess, the perceived laziness of the ports is a little welcome because they both haven't come to North America before. Like I think it was
a little more welcome with 5. I think since we hadn't gotten it before, I think a lot more people were a lot more excited about it. And really sort of the same thing is kind of happens after you start Dragon Quest VI because you look at it and you're like, well, I already did this. This is stupid. I've seen these graphics. I know what they're doing with Dragon Quest. I can't zoom. I can't do this, yada, yada. But at the same time, the story is fantastic.
Yeah, like 5 had probably one of my favorite RPG stories ever.
Five had a great story. Six also has a pretty good story. I'm really enjoying it, and that's what's keeping me playing it.
Cool.
I guess before we talk a little bit about the story, I don't want to give anything away. But, you know, most of the mechanics in the game are, you know, they're Dragon Quest, turn-based RPG. Later on, you can catch monsters, you can change your party classes and stuff like that.
You've played Dragon Quest V, correct?
Like, yes.
Yeah. So what's different from Dragon Quest 6 or like 5 to 6? Like what has been changed, tweaked, added, whatever?
In Dragon Quest 6, you can change your classes.
Okay, so kind of like how 9 did it?
Kind of like how 9 did it.
Is there a drop date?
You keep your... Is there what?
Is there a drop date? Do you have to drop it by date? Your class.
Zach, stop filibustering.
Zach, what are you talking about?
He's trying to be cute.
College joke.
I am cute, Neil.
Oh, the ad drop date, your class.
Right.
Gotcha. All
right.
Gotcha.
Can you take Black Mage incomplete?
What, Neil?
Sorry. Yeah, never mind.
You know what? I just
really
registered for classes yesterday,
$10
too.
$10 plus Zach.
Meow.
Okay, we never posted that image, by the way.
I did.
We already posted it.
Oh, thank God.
Yeah.
Thank God.
Note to Nathan, edit this. I'll probably do it. I will
edit
that.
Jesus.
And I will make it every other word in the podcast. But there was some sort of question about video games that you had asked me, and I was talking about it, and then
classes,
right, okay. The difference is that you can keep your skills between classes,
ooh,
which is kind of nice.
Awesome.
So it's essentially an open invitation to, here, do you have time to grind? Break the game.
Yeah. That would have been nice in Dragon Quest IX.
You can break the game in Dragon Quest IX. But again, you know, you need a lot of time. I think it may be a little easier to do it in this one. I haven't really gotten that far in the game. Or at least not far enough to where I would feel comfortable reviewing it. But right from the outset, the story is fantastic. It's sort of a parallel world kind of tale. So your character is special, and you can drop down into this other world. And it's not like the Dark World in Zelda.
More like Earth
2. It's pretty much a...
Like Earth 2 and Earth 1.
What are you talking about?
He doesn't like comics.
You know what? I'm just going to stop.
Good.
Zach, what are you talking about?
It's a DC Comics reference.
Spider-Man?
God damn it.
Listen to Crosstalk Comics to find out about the ages, and I will be on I was on the last episode to talk about the DC Animated Universe, and we're doing part 2 next week.
Okay, well, this isn't Zach's Amazing Friends, so let's keep going about Dragon Quest. Parallel worlds, Earth 1, Earth 2, I guess. And it's kind of cool because something's off in the other world, and you're not quite sure what went wrong or at what point in time you're at, but you're sort of piecing together what's happening. And, like, you don't even know that there's a parallel world at the start, and you get dropped into it, and you're not quite sure... Like, if you're dreaming or what's going on, it all sort of unravels pretty nicely. And I think if I say any more, I'm going to spoil something.
All right.
So,
well, I just want to kind of comment on especially Dragon Quest 4, 5, and 6, because I believe they originally came out, I want to say, like, early 90s. Like, 6 may have come out. I know Dragon Quest 4 is an NES game, and 5 and 6 are Super Nintendo games, so that kind of gives you an idea. But they were doing really innovative shit with, like, you know, stories and RPGs. Just, I mean,
no,
they have the chapters where, like, you play briefly in a prologue.
Yeah, you
as
play
the main
separate
characters.
I really want to play four.
Other side characters for 4 chapters, and then you finally control the hero. I'm not even at that part. I just started chapter 4, and I'm about 9 hours in. And it's definitely not, I mean, it's a little jarring going from character to character, but it's not like it's bad. It's kind of interesting how they do it. It reminds me... Well, I guess it's more Mother 3 reminds me of Dragon Quest 4 because Mother 3 came out years after it. But I just think that's a really cool thing to do, at least from a story perspective.
Well, and then
and
5,
I think Mother 3 does it
giant,
better, but that's just me.
And then 5, they had the whole, having your family.
Yeah, which is
skipping
amazing.
Skipping through time a little bit. And then 6, really the two worlds, it's almost a mechanic. It is pretty, pretty interesting. And yeah. it really affects the story. So,
I mean, I think, like I said, Dragon Quest V is one of my favorite RPG stories just because you start off, it's like your character is born and then like you play a section as him as a little kid and then you play a section as him as like a, you know, a, like an 18-year-old or something, and then as an adult with your wife and kids traveling around, and it's just like by that point it's just like,
well, and you actually
cool
have
story.
Your kids in your party. I mean, it's pretty awesome.
Yeah, and you get and to then, choose and, your wife and everything. It's just, it's an amazing game. I recommend it to anyone that likes RPGs.
Yeah, I think that's why I'm so comfortable with the mechanics of Dragon Quest being so similar, because they're really changing it up on the story end, and they're. Yeah. You can see that they iterated just ever so slightly on the mechanics between the games, but at the end of the day, if you were to take all the stuff that they'd added by Dragon Quest VI and just given you the battle mechanics from Dragon Quest IV, it probably wouldn't even affect the game.
Yeah.
So, yeah, there's that.
And it's not even like the story. I mean, like the story in IV, it's not like it's amazing, but it's good enough. Like, and it's interesting in how it's portrayed. That's the important thing.
Well,
because all RPG stories are, for the most part, in my eyes, bullshit. So if you can just present it in an interesting way, that's awesome.
Yeah, Dragon Quest also is a little more... You don't have to put as much attention into the battles, which I've always kind of disliked about Final Fantasy, once they added active time battle. Because if I'm playing something on a DS, I have to look up every once in a while, you know, kind of look around, or I hear something, and then I look down and I'm dead. Yeah. You know, this I can just kind of leave. It's a relaxing experience. It's more like a storybook.
Yeah.
And they've added a pretty nice hint system. I don't remember if it was in Dragon Quest V.
I don't think it was. It's been like 2 years since I played V, though.
Okay, yeah. It may have been in it. I may have just not used it, but...
Is it kind of like in Dragon Quest IX where you can hit Y and it's like a recap of the story?
No, it's you're talking to your party members. I mean, this may have even been in the original game and I just didn't know it. But you just press a button to talk to your party member, and they're like, you know what, we gotta go to town X, and to do that, we gotta go north and then south from this town.
That's cool.
And it's like, that was the worst part about the earlier Dragon Quest games for me, is that you just get lost.
Yeah.
You know, where was I going? I remember some guy in some tavern telling me, like, there was this town with a mirror, but that's about it, and the game doesn't keep
you. Yeah, even 4, you know, leads you astray, where you're just kind of like, well... I guess I have to go there. It's the only other place I can go to right now.
Exactly. And sometimes you just get hopelessly lost, especially when they unlock the sort of quicker travel modes.
Yeah.
Because then it could be anywhere in the whole world. And you're just, well, crap. I don't know what I'm doing. But,
it's Dragon Quest.
Yeah. That is Dragon Quest. Does anyone have any questions?
I have a franchise question. I know that, I mean, obviously the game is huge in Japan. That's common knowledge. Was there a specific Dragon Quest at which that started? Or is it always from the very beginning
been 3.
A phenomenon? 3? Okay.
I think 3 was the one that launched, like, it made it mega popular. I think it always sold well, but I think 3 was the one that, like, got politicians stepping in and being like, Dragon Quest is terrible! Kill Yuji Horii! Like... And that's been, like, I want to say, I don't know when they, like, declared, like, how, like, I think, like, Dragon Quest release dates are days off in Japan now or something ridiculous like that. I don't know when that started, but I think 3 was the first huge one.
Wow. That's pretty insane.
Yeah.
Yeah, and, you know, we're coming up on the 25th anniversary of these games, so these games have been popular for quite a long time.
I believe I've said this before. But thank you, Johnny Metz, for retiring from reviewing games, because he's partially the reason why I got really into Dragon Quest, because I was always curious, and I remember playing Dragon Quest 1 on NES when I was younger.
Right.
And then I reviewed Dragon Quest 5 for the site and fell in love with it. And now it's one of my favorite series.
Part of my, you played Dragon Warrior Monsters, right?
Yeah, I did, but I don't really associate that with when I played that, I didn't really associate it with the Dragon Quest series as a whole. It was kind of
when
like
you play thing. Dragon Warrior Monsters, you're actually playing as characters from Dragon Quest VI.
Really?
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
I never knew that.
Just younger versions. Terry and Mileyu are the characters
that
means, in the game.
Yeah, that's really cool.
Yeah.
I need to.
Yeah,
I
it's
need
pretty
get
cool.
A copy of Dragon Warrior
it's
Monsters.
Just, it's
I,
just
I
a spinoff.
Yeah.
Yeah. But I think I heard Zach moan. Was it Zach moaning?
What? Huh?
Okay. Probably time to move on from Dragon Quest. But,
Talk about Dead Space, you harpy.
Yeah. All right.
Yeah, Zach.
So I got Dead Space 2. And I've been playing it with some friends who like Dead Space, so I only get to play it once a week. But we play it for several hours at a time. I've almost beat it. And have any of you heathens played Dead Space?
I played
the original. I got about halfway through it.
That's about where I was, too.
So good.
And I played Extraction.
So good!
I think I found it to be too difficult. Like, I got to a point where I was low on money, low on ammo, low on health, and getting more and more low on patience, and decided I would rather stop playing the game than try to replay it on a lower difficulty or something.
Gotcha.
So I think basically you could say the game won. But part of my problem with it, I think, was that the environments were a little too similar across the board.
Yeah.
I'm not a big fan of, I do like the sort of the evil spaceship kind of thing, but I don't know about about spending like 20 hours there. Like, I'm a really big fan of like the original Resident Evil titles, like on the remake on GameCube is one of my all-time favorite games. But that game only has you in the mansion for like two-thirds of the game, if that. There's a lengthy section where you're in a cabin and then underground in a lab and, so I think part of it was I got a little tired of the setting. I've heard so many good things about the new one that I'm tempted to pick the old one back up and just play through it quick on easy so I can play
the
new one.
Yeah, the new one, takes place on a space station, so there are different areas, obviously, that you go through.
Kind of Bioshock-esque?
It changes up. It actually is. There are moments where you think of Bioshock, and there's some sequences where you're just in space, flying around in space that are really cool. And they get a really good sense of scale.
Didn't the first game have a little bit of that, too? A little bit of, like, outer space action?
I don't think you were ever actually in space. I mean,
you were on the ship.
There was zero-G
action.
But
in this game, you actually leave the station and you're in space.
Okay.
Better or worse than the Mass Effect 2 scene?
I didn't play Mass Effect 2.
Oh, that's right. You wouldn't know because you haven't played one of the most awesomest games ever.
I played the demo, and it's just so RPG.
Yeah, I guess. Sure.
I went into that demo expecting Resident Evil 4.
Oh.
Really?
Mass Effect?
Yeah. I expected Resident Evil 4.
I don't know who gave you that expectation.
Stuff, like, you level up.
Were they dumb?
No, it is an RPG. I mean, I haven't even played it, and I know that it is an RPG.
Oh.
Yeah, definitely.
Well, I've been
RPG.
Very in the dark about both of those games.
Although I can agree with Zach that like with Mass Effect, like I honestly can't really picture how it plays. Especially Mass Effect 2. Mass Effect 1 I can because I played other BioWare RPGs.
God, I hate RPGs. The Xbox stuff.
Wait, how many of you guys have played Mass Effect 2?
What?
How many of you have played Mass Effect 2?
I have not.
I haven't played it.
It's on my shelf. It's on my to-do list. I haven't started the first one yet.
But then I sold it for 20 times profit.
Okay.
So I regret nothing.
Look, Jade Empire was
note
bad,
for the future.
I didn't really
when
like
we,
the Star
when
Wars
we do
games
a,
either.
When we do a defend your game thing, I'm going to try and jimmy up some copies of Mass Effect 2 for you guys.
Anyway, we're not talking about Mass Effect 2. We're talking about...
we're talking about an inferior game. I'm kidding. I don't know.
The reason I like the Dead Space games is that they are Resident Evil 4 in space with monsters. And the scares
are
more effective.
Dead Space came out, Dead Space was being previewed around the same time as Resident Evil 5. I remember hearing like a bunch of journalists that played both were just like, man, Dead Space is the better Resident Evil game.
In a way it is. I haven't played Dead Space 2 with Move. But I have played Extraction with Move, and it's a port. Straight up port. I mean,
does it look any better? Does it play any better? Or is it just the same damn game?
It really doesn't look any better. I mean, it looks better in that just their high res, the fuzziness is gone. But once the fuzziness is gone, you can kind of tell that certain things look terrible. Like women, there's a blonde in the game, a blonde woman.
Are you talking about getting drunk?
Oh, you know it. I'm drunk right now, man.
Yeah, that would help.
But there's a blonde woman in the game, and her hair reflects light like it's a sphere.
That's not
good.
You want
to know what always bothered me about Dead Space Extraction?
The chattiness?
Once I threw that... Well, no, there's a moment, like, I want to say it's like halfway through the game where it's just like you wake up in some kind of like cryo tank.
I'm in that level right now.
You just see the girl walk out naked for seemingly no reason.
Nobody else is naked.
Yeah, like what the fuck?
It's because she was getting she was getting special tests or some bullshit. But that scene, I like that scene because
she's just like walking around naked and like dude wakes up and it's like sweet.
Well, what's great is that he wakes up, she's naked, she walks away, you get out, 2 seconds later she's fully clothed, and she's like, what's up?
I mean, she's a quick changer, but it just seemed like they focused on it for so long in that scene that I was just like, I feel kind of uncomfortable. This must be what it feels like to be Zach all the time.
Neil, I don't think Zach feels uncomfortable during
those
scenes.
No, that's the thing. I'm a psychopath.
I think you're missing the mystique of Miller.
Right, right. Yeah, I need to post some pictures of stuff I own.
Please.
But, no, Dead Space Extraction still really holds up.
I need my fix, Zach.
But what? Huh? Is it a good thing I missed that?
No, I'm just interrupting
you.
Gotcha. Titties. A concept you're obviously unfamiliar with.
Breasts. Boobs.
Yes.
Tits.
What? Anyway. Nothing.
God.
But Extraction on PS3, I don't like it as much as Wii because the Move controller is less comfortable than the Wii remote.
Yeah, I can see that. I played a Move demo at a Best Buy, and I did not like the way the controller felt. Although, technically, it works very well.
Well, it's like...
I think if my parents found that in my room, they would
question
kind of,
you.
Yeah, they'd be like, are you
raise,
putting this up
raise
your butt?
Some eyebrows. You know?
It lights up, Mom!
It doesn't.
Do you guys remember... That
it doesn't have DualShock in it, does it?
There
no,
was a
it
news story back during the GameCube days about how like a teenage girl was caught with a GameCube controller vibrating on her crotch.
No.
it was one of those like sensationalist.
Like
you know,
the girl
Neil,
who
that
fell
was actually,
and gets orgasms every 5 seconds.
That was
actually a very
real thing with the Harry Potter broomsticks.
You need to stop talking.
No, I'm serious.
Oh God,
Zach, Google,
no, like
to
like
the
that
Google.
That
That's
happened with the GameCube
Zach.
Controller. I distinctly remember reading a news article about that.
Really? Okay. Well, I'm googling. Yeah. I'm googling.
Anyway, I don't like the Move controller as much, but Extraction itself is a phenomenal game. It's probably the best light gun shooter on the Wii. Or PS3.
I would disagree. House of the Dead Overkill.
Okay, House of the Dead Overkill is... It's kind of
a different game. I would say it's number two, though.
It's a
I would say it's
game,
number two.
But yeah, I would, too.
Yeah.
I would also disagree.
Extraction looks much better than House of the Dead Overkill.
What's your pick?
Chicken Shoot.
Yeah, Chicken Shoot's pretty good, yeah.
that's sort of a serious response.
But yeah, Extraction's great and it's free, so if you buy... if you buy Dead Space 2 on PS3...
Now, PlayStation 3.
You know, that's actually true. Like, you need the Move to play Extraction, because you can play it with a DualShock, but just don't do it.
Yeah.
But yeah, Dead Space 2 is awesome, Extraction is awesome, the Collector's Edition is kick-ass, and I'm going to do a blog post about it. It includes a hilarious picture of me trying to act tough with the little model plasma cutter they give you in the box.
All right, I have to do this disclaimer.
No, Dead Space 2 is actually not available on the Wii. Dead Space Extraction is, but who cares?
Extraction's better on the Wii. So if you have access to Extraction, and it's probably dirt cheap now, go get it.
I think I saw it for like $10 somewhere.
Oh, I wouldn't be surprised. But yeah, Extraction's great. And Neil, you know it's cool. You played Extraction, right. So this will matter to you. There's going to be... a single-player downloadable content chapter for Dead Space 2 that resolves the storyline of Extraction.
Yeah, I did hear about that. That does sound pretty cool.
It's Lexine and
I'm not really that
dude you are.
Yeah.
Yeah. And,
cool. You know, Zach, we were kind of complaining about this pre-show, but, you know, why can't they put a... Not to say that Extraction isn't a Dead Space game, but why can't they put a real Dead Space game
on the Wii?
They did it on the iPhone.
Yeah.
What's going on?
As I said,
if, like, why do they have slight Wii players
like
that?
Make it like RE4 on Wii.
Yeah, exactly. I was going to say, RE4 is the definitive version of that game.
I don't know about that. Well, they could, you know what, they could... Well,
Zach, you played a better version of RE4 than the Wii one?
Oh, no, I thought you meant the Dead Space on Wii would be the definitive version.
Oh, no. It wouldn't be, but certainly
no,
RE4
certainly
worked
correct
on
about
many
RE4.
Levels on the Wii. Yeah,
and I'm pretty sure RE4 sold pretty well on Wii.
It did.
I think it did, yeah.
So let's talk about what's next on the agenda.
We got a review gift of Glory Days Tactical Defense. Glory Days, yeah. Tactical Defense for DSiWare. I just downloaded this earlier today, and I haven't really put any real time into it yet. I put like 20 minutes in. But immediately, for 200 points, I was really pretty impressed pretty immediately on like the level of production in this game. It's a tower defense game, and it's a pretty by the numbers tower defense game. There is a road. There are trucks that go on that road. You must put turrets along the road to destroy said trucks and troops. And then there are airplanes that you have to shoot out of the sky as well. But the production values on it are really out of this world. You control
they are for considering the price, considering the platform.
Yeah. You control a cursor, basically. It's the only thing you control. You don't use the touchscreen to drop items. You use a touchscreen to select which tower you want to place.
To be honest, I think it's a little awkward. I don't know if it lets you use the L and R buttons, which I don't think it did.
No, I don't think so
but
either.
I would prefer not to have to take my hands off the D-pad.
Agreed. But you use the stylus to select the tower, and then you drive the cursor along the terrain using the D-pad. And what became immediately apparent to me when I started playing this was they shouldn't have made a tower defense game. They should have made Super Off-Road. Remember Super Off-Road? The little driving game on Super NES and the arcades with the sweet-ass steering wheel?
Yeah.
That game is awesome, and that game has never really been remade in the same manner in which it was awesome.
I think
cursor controls like the stupid trucks. You, like, if you get some speed up and drive your cursor up a hill, your cursor, like, flies through the air. It's awesome. Like,
I don't know. I think that they could have done this game a little more justice outside of the visuals, because that's the first thing that gets you. This game is really snappy. Everything's actually really quick inside of it.
Oh, yeah.
You know,
definitely.
Putting stuff down, people come out pretty quick, the waves, you know, and
upgrades are instant.
Really quick. Yeah.
Upgrades are instant. There's no, like,
It's a fast-paced
bars.
Game.
It's very
unfortunately,
quick.
It just doesn't seem to have any sort of gimmick to it.
Nope.
You know, which I think tower defense really needs to distinguish itself.
Yeah.
And if the only gimmick is this is pretty, I'm going to get over that pretty quickly.
Agreed. And I don't think the game has a whole lot of depth to it. But for 200 points,
no.
It doesn't need a ton of depth.
It doesn't. It really doesn't. It's just, I think I'll play this for a couple hours.
I want this game to be a driving game. Strange as it seems, like they have this really interesting physics mechanic for their cursor, of all things.
Dude, Pop Island Paperfield.
Yeah.
Yeah, I need to check that out, actually.
It's by those guys. It's a capture the flag game, and really it seems like the cursor that you're talking about, that's how the characters control in that. And it's not necessarily a driving game. It's more like you're, you know, trying to get the flag and then bring it back to your base.
Yeah.
But it's a ton of fun, and you actually
do get
to,
you know, race
around.
So there's some element of racing in it.
Definitely.
I mean, yeah, I'm definitely going to use some of my extra points to grab Pop Island right after the show.
Yeah, because there's Pop Island, which is there's a $5 version and then like a $2 expansion.
Mm-hmm.
But I don't think the $2 expansion, it might be perfect if you just kind of want to play it for a little bit.
Yeah.
Sure.
Yeah.
No, there's three maps, and then there's like, I think, 5 difficulty levels per map.
Mm-hmm. Well, I agree with you, Andy. I mean, it's immediately impressive.
Yeah, it really is. I had fairly low expectations, which I think is fairly standard of any 200-point DSiWare game, really. So I'm happy that I wasn't rewarded with a poor game.
Yeah.
From
it kind of makes you wonder why they couldn't have done more with the visuals in Plants vs. Zombies.
Oh,
hey, that's a great
another
great
tower
segue.
Defense game.
You should host
this
every
game,
week.
Another great.
I should, shouldn't I? Thank you.
This game has actually been reviewed as of now. I just submitted the review about an hour ago.
Just click the review button.
I was more impressed with this game than I thought I was going to be. The visuals aren't awesome. And that's hard to get around. I mean, if you've played Plants vs. Zombies, you know what it's supposed to look like. You're gonna be upset about the way it looks. That said, the game has been downgraded consistently across the board, meaning that it's not that hard to adjust to. Like, after you kind of get over the fact that there's a whole bunch of frames missing of animation, like, really, it's the same game. And honestly, it's a ton of fun. And I think maybe it's just because I was sort of, by virtue of the review, kind of forced to try a little bit more of the mini games and the post-game content. I think I had more fun playing this game than I did on the iPhone.
Did you get into the survival mode in that? Because that's a really fun aspect of the game.
I didn't play the survival mode too much. I did try it out. I think I played every single level of the puzzle modes. There's two different puzzle modes, one of which requires you to break a whole bunch of vases to get a preset combination of zombies and plants, and then the other one is one where you have to play as the zombies to try to eat the brains, which requires you to basically get past a preset configuration of plants that are already planted, and you just have to use the zombies to basically you gain resources by having the zombies attack the sunflowers that are already planted,
right,
so that you can create more zombies with the sun to eventually get to the end of each row. I had a lot of fun with that. I did a good portion of the mini games. Some of the mini games are pretty difficult. There's the one where the zombies have plant heads and shoot at you as you play.
That was kind of funny.
So
what was that,
hard.
Like the biohazard mode or something?
It's called, what's it called? Yeah, it's something like that. It's
not important, but I know what you're talking about.
Zombotany, I think, maybe?
Yes. Yeah. You're right. A pretty good.
So yeah, I mean, I guess the Zen Garden is kind of fun. I'm not really sure what the end game of the Zen Garden is exactly, but I planted like five plants and grew them up. And I mean, you can get a lot of money that way. Like, your plants give you money as you go. That's kind of neat. There's so much post game content in this. Mm-hmm. I just had a blast with it, and
You know, I know that you experienced that for the sake of the review, but is this post-game content that's not available in other versions?
I need to double-check, but I think there are some mini-games that are exclusive to the DS version.
Okay.
I think one of them is probably the one where you have to yell at the screen, which can piss off, but...
Yeah.
I'll tell you what, the multiplayer mode that's included, I didn't have a chance to try out multi-card because I don't know anybody else who has the game. But I tried out single card multiplayer tonight, and I was actually really impressed by the options that are available. You can do, I don't know if you've tried the multiplayer on the Xbox Live version, which I think is the only other version available that has it. Except for
maybe
the PS3 version has it too. Basically, when you do multiplayer on the DS, and this is single card, mind you, not multi card, you can do a random match, a custom match, or a quick play, and basically the differences between those three is which plants are and which zombies are selected. The random match being you get one resource generator, which being the gravestone for the zombies or the sunflower for the plants, and then you get like five other random plants to play with. The quick play is a preset combination where it's always the same. But the custom play basically lets you go back and forth and pick which plants and which zombies you want on each team. So like you link up with your friend who has a DS, and he picks a zombie and then you pick a plant, and then he picks a zombie and then you pick a plant, and then he picks a zombie and then you pick a plant. And then after you both have six total, you play a game to basically, I think the plants have to clear at least three targets that are at the end of each row, and the zombies have to eat, I think, at least three of the brains at the end of each. Or maybe just get one through. I'm not exactly sure, but I guess what I'm getting at is I was actually really impressed at how comprehensive the multiplayer was. In the single card, we played it for at least a half an hour or so while we were watching TV tonight, and had a blast. It was just a lot of fun. It was a little laggy, and it takes about a minute and a half to 2 minutes of a loading screen for it to like completely send the game to the other DS to start. Which we thought it had locked up, but once it actually started playing, it, there was a little bit of lag in the game itself, but it was totally playable, and really a lot of fun. I had a blast playing it. Multiplayer was I was very surprised to see it so comprehensive for single card.
Yeah.
So, yeah, I mean...
Yeah, I don't think there's really been that many solid multi-card experiences. I know that Mario Kart was a really good early example of that. And I think Prime Hunters, did that support single card?
I'm not really sure.
I don't remember.
So basically, at the end of the day, it's just as good as every other version of Plants vs. Zombies, except for the graphics and the price. So, if you haven't played Plants vs. Zombies, and you can find this for a good price, I don't see any reason why the graphics should be that big of a deterrent, unless you really want to play this on a TV using your Xbox, or you want to go buy an iPad or an iPhone. If all you have is a DS and you're worried about the graphics turning, you know, being a big deterrent here, I would say play a few levels and you'll be over it. Because I was over it. I adjusted pretty quick to the downgraded visuals. It's not a big deal. It really, really isn't a big deal.
Yeah.
It is. I mean, they are lower quality. There's no doubt about it. But it's not that big of a deal. And I think the game plays better with a stylus than the PC and Mac versions do with a mouse. I think stylus is great. I mean, maybe the iPhone and the iPad versions are even better because they have multi-touch, but
I would think so.
Stylus works great.
Yeah, awesome. So I think that is maybe the sixth and final time we're going to talk about Plants vs. Zombies on the news.
Just about.
I'm maybe. Sure there'll be another one somewhere.
We talk some Plants
PVZ
vs. Zombies.
PVZ 2.
Yeah.
Return.
Soon.
I'm actually, I mean... Sorry.
we all sort of crashed there.
I was just gonna say I'm actually excited for Plants vs. Zombies 2. Having now played through the single player game like three times all the way through, I'm tired of that.
I would do almost anything to not like. I want to play some more of that game, but every time I try, it's like, oh wait, I was at the start. Crap.
I think probably the most annoying thing with this DS version is I had to play all the way through the single player campaign. To get the extras, because it's all post-game content.
But, you know, that really wouldn't have been a problem had you not played it before.
Right, because if the single-player campaign is a blast, it's just that I've already done it twice.
Yeah.
And it's like a 4 to 6 hour campaign, about.
Yep.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah. Well, cool. I'm glad you ended up enjoying it more than you thought you would. Neil, you want to talk to us about the Squire instrument?
Yes, so I got a loaner copy of the real guitar for Rock Band 3, you know, with strings and stuff like that, and it's really, really cool. I don't pretend to be any kind of guitar player. Back when I was in like middle school, I was like, oh, try to learn guitar, and that didn't really work, but I don't like basics. And, this kind of like, I relearned the basics and was playing songs on Medium and doing it decently in no time at all. The lessons that you have in Rock Band 3 help out a lot as far as, you know, trying to learn to play the guitar, and this is a real guitar. To the point where like the strings aren't special or anything. It's just, you know, it's if a string breaks, you go and get new strings.
You can just go down to Sam Ash and fix that.
Yep.
Nice.
I believe the way that it registers your hands is it's all on the fretboard.
Right.
Which is a little weird because it seems like the, where you place your fingers is kind of like there are certain parts that work for, you know, certain fretboards, and it might not seem entirely natural if you're used to playing the guitar.
How does it handle stuff like a hammer-on?
Just kind of, I mean, it
because that, you know, like you could be pressing down two frets with that and, you know, on accident, if you do it in the middle, and I don't know how it would register something like that.
I mean, it registers it by, you know, it registers where your hands are on the strings on the fret.
Right.
So
it can tell, like, it can tell, like, where your finger is between a fret, even?
Yeah.
You don't actually have to have your finger on the fret when you're playing, right?
No.
Oh, that's cool. That's a lot cooler than I thought, then.
Yeah.
Because I thought it would essentially be, like, a button, you know, like
yeah,
you
have, it's
you're,
not.
You're
I mean,
closing
it's...
you're closing a loop with the string and the fret.
Yeah. I mean, I guess theoretically. Well, I mean, it also reads the strumming of the instrument too.
Mm-hmm.
But it does. Like, I guess theoretically, you could remove the strings and just put your finger, like your fingers, on the fret, and it would read it.
Right.
I'm not gonna probably test that because that would involve destringing the guitar, but. I'm pretty sure that would work.
Now, does it have some sort of a built-in tuning aid?
I don't believe so. At least not that I've seen anything.
Do you have to tune it, or is it...
It's pretty out of tune. If you were to play it like a real guitar, and like not play it in Rock Band 3, you would most certainly want to tune it.
Right.
When
so,
I was playing it, when I was playing it in the game, it didn't really make that much of a difference.
What I'm getting at, would it end up sounding annoying, or is it just, is it playing, like, is it reading the sounds that the guitar is making and playing it through, or is
no.
it just...
No, it's still, it's basically, it functions as if you were playing, like, as far as how it reads it in the game and the sound is output in the game,
right.
it reads it as if you were playing a regular Rock Band song.
So it's still just filling in, you're still just filling in notes, essentially.
Yeah.
Right?
Yeah.
And if you play the wrong note, it just doesn't register and play a sound
yep.
at all.
Yep.
God, that's, I would rather just have it play the wrong sound and take a point off.
Yeah.
Or break your chain or something, you know? Because that's what that prospect had me interested. Because then you're not just filling in the empty spots.
It would be more improvisational instead of, I guess, like you're wrong.
I get, well, and it's less like, okay, I have to... It's not like you're playing anything then. Because then it's just detecting, like, you played the right note. We're going to play the simulated note through the...
Yeah.
So it's still just muting parts of a song.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I haven't. I've been wanting to get like people that I know that actually know how to play guitar to
mm-hmm.
check it out and like maybe play it on expert. I haven't
yeah.
been able to get a chance to do that, but it's something I want to do. It's probably going to come with me to PAX East, and I'll probably get like people like Sklens and Johnny Metz to play it while we're there.
Yeah,
but I mean it's a real cool piece of tech. I mean if you want to try to learn guitar. I think the price is kind of worth it, and you happen to have Rock Band 3. I mean, I think it's like, I'm going to get it wrong off the top of my head. I want to say it's like $300, including the MIDI adapter, which you need. But like, if you want to get a guitar, that's not a super outrageous price.
It's not, and we had this debate in like a talkback
yeah.
thread and with a listener, but it just seems like it would be, if you're really serious about the guitar...
You would want to get a better guitar than that.
You want to get a better guitar. But then again, there's the cost of lessons. And maybe, you know, like when you first get into guitar, you're not buying the best guitar out there. You know?
Yeah.
You know, I'm not.
Yeah,
I'm
no,
gonna
that,
go,
that's
I'm
kind of what I
Les
see
Paul,
it more as.
You know?
as a my first guitar with lessons included if you happen to have Rock Band 3.
And if it's actually up to snuff, like you'll learn something, then I think that's fantastic.
Yeah. I mean, it's like, it reminds me a lot of the keyboard stuff in Rock Band, which. You know,
now,
I learned
you,
shit
does
about
it teach
playing
you about
the keyboard.
Music, though? Are you just learning how to... Sort of like the people that can play chopsticks, you know? And they're like, oh, yeah, I can play music. And then they sit
I mean,
down and play
yeah, a lot of the lessons
burlies.
Are more based on you know, like playing scales, like, you know, hammer-ons and pull-offs.
Well, that's cool, then. At least you're learning... I mean, you may not be learning music theory,
yeah.
but if you're having to learn your scales and stuff like
yeah,
that...
you're definitely
and,
not losing
and
music
some chords.
Theory, but it's teaching you, you know, like finger placement, stuff like that.
No, well, that's cool. You know, like, this is a G chord that I...
Yep.
I yeah. That's
and how they have it
I
on the harder difficulty levels. I took a peek at one of the harder difficulties, even though I couldn't play it myself.
I mean, this may even be the instrumental equivalent of something like an EA Sports Active. Like,
yeah.
I don't want sort of the hassle, the cost, and even maybe the embarrassment of having a personal trainer or something. But if I can get a video game to do it for me, why not?
Yeah.
And I think that's really cool.
Yeah, no, it's really neat. It's definitely a high barrier for entry, but if you're into it, it's totally worth it, in my opinion.
Yeah.
Like,
cool.
yeah, I mean, for me, it's just that I know I'm not going to play it that much.
Mm-hmm.
Like, I think it's a cool piece of tech, and if I could get it for cheaper, I would totally buy it, just because it's fun to screw around with.
Yeah. Yeah, if it weren't so cost prohibitive,
yeah.
and I realize there are realistic factors... that make
yeah.
it that expensive.
Yeah, I'm definitely, I'm not upset because it's also, I know that like, I it's kind of like, I was talking about a friend about Marvel vs. Capcom 3 coming out.
So excited.
I totally want to buy that game for about $20. Because,
exactly, off of Xbox Live or something.
Yeah, well, no. I mean, for me, it's more like, out of a fighting game, I don't get as much out of it as people that are way into
me
it.
Me too, yeah.
It's true.
And
yeah,
like
I definitely
for me,
don't.
I just want to get the fighting game, screw around with it, maybe like beat up with a couple characters. I'm never going to really be that good at it, but I'll enjoy screwing around with it. That's the same thing with the Squire guitar for me. Is that like I'm not going to pay full price for it because it's not 100% for me. It's more like I just want to screw around with it a little bit.
Nice.
Yeah, that's all I got to say about that.
Okay, well, I've written here on the notes, open mic. Does anyone have any sort of beef, Zach, poetry slam, perhaps?
Hello? Is it me you're looking for? I can
wow,
see.
Wow, that's enough of that. Unsubscribed.
Thank you for the show. Thank you for the
We're
going
to have a Mario RPG feature startup tomorrow, Wednesday. So it should pretty much be up and over by the time you listen to this. Yeah, because Pager is writing something about Super Mario RPG. Josh, our new staff member, Josh Max, is going to be writing, or he already wrote something about Super Paper Mario.
Josh Max, wasn't that like an Atari game?
Probably.
Doesn't he sound like that? Jeez.
Yeah.
That's awesome.
I'm writing something about Paper Mario 2, and then Zach's writing stuff about Mario and Luigi, and Pedro's writing stuff about Yoko Shimomura, who did a lot of the music for Super Mario RPG and Mario and Luigi.
Also, sort of housekeeping type deals. Talk in the Talkback thread. Leave us a review on the iTunes, please.
You listen to this shit up. Look at you.
Yeah.
Look at you, Mr.
Yeah, I'm
Host.
Doing it. I'm doing it.
He is
I'm
hosting.
It. Might sound hosting crazy, but it ain't no lie, baby. Bye, bye.
I am hosting this car over, Zachary.
You're the hostiest host we ever had.
Thank you. And listen to Radio Trivia.
That's the stuff.
Listen to RFN. You can hear them talk about similar things. And and I think that's wraps for Newscast 41.
Did you say rap?
Cool story, bro. Yep. Riveting chap tale.
Whoa, dog.
Thanks, fool.
Chap riveting, bro.
And spending
okay,
most of their lives
later.
Living in
goodbye.
Gangsta.
Oh, no.
Clicking.
Lord.
Just talking about a game I really don't care for right now. Mm. I was resisting putting it on the show notes.
They're talking
about Guitar Hero. Huh?
Guitar Hero, the lead one? Isn't
it
old game?
Yeah, they keep making new ones. See, and this is how I have time to talk on Facebook during podcasts, babe.
Mm.
Because
Guitar Hero again?
They're talking about Tony Hawk.
What?
Tony Hawk. Some skateboarding game. Now they're talking about another game I've never played.
Oh, man.
Yeah, you just kind of sit quietly until people talk about something that you're going to talk about.
Might sound crazy, but it ain't no lie, baby. Bye, bye, bye.